We're doing this morning a quick review of basic laws of blessing. So, let's begin by analyzing what we say when we make a blessing. We say the word Baruch, which we will translate for now as bless. Ata, you. We begin our blessing speaking to Hashem as though He's standing opposite us. Hashem. And we mention Hashem's name. Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the World. In general, every blessing should have this introduction. You say, Kol Bracha She'en Ba Shem Shamayim, any blessing that doesn't have the mention of God's name, En Malchut, that God is King of the World, is not a blessing. That's the general rule. There are exceptions, like the first blessing, Shmona Esrei, doesn't have the words Melech HaOlam. So we say that's because we say the God of Avram. And what we mean to say by that is the God of Avram who made God king over the world. He made Him known to the world. But in general, every blessing is going to have that formula, that beginning. Yeah? Oh. So, let's wait off on that, and maybe we'll deal with it. Okay, you know what? We'll deal with it now. We have a concept called Bracha Simcha L'Chaverka, a blessing that is adjacent to another blessing. When you have a blessing which is adjacent to another blessing, so then sometimes that blessing will not begin with the words Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. For example, what Ari brought out, we say Ahava Rabba in the morning, that's a blessing, Ahava Rabba, we end Baruch Ata Hashem, Bocher Bamo Yisrael Be'ava, right? The sealing of a blessing also doesn't always have Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. For example, Asher Yotza. How do we end Asher Yotza? Okay. Bar nefashos, baruch ha'olamim. The sealing of a blessing doesn't always have Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. What? We don't say baruch ha'ta Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam ha'olamim. We just say baruch ha'olamim. The sealing of a blessing does not always have the mention of God's kingdom, and a blessing that is adjacent does not have. For example, when we make Sheva Brachos. So the first blessing begins with Baruch, and then we have blessings, Samech T'Samach Eim Ha'Ovim. That's a blessing. Baruch T'Hashem, Samech T'Yon B'Vanea. It ends with Baruch T'Hashem, without Melech Olam. But that's because we consider it a continuum from the previous blessings. Elokai Neshama, in the morning, we say. Right? Elokai Neshama Shnasat Adi, my God, the Nesham He gave me, we end up, Baruch T'Hashem, Machzir Neshamot L'Gerim Netim. Doesn't begin with Baruch T'Hashem, and it is a blessing. That is, the reason is because we say it's adjacent to the blessing that preceded it. That's called the bracha smucha l'chavarta. A blessing that's adjacent.
What about
so all the blessings in Shmona Esrei are considered adjacent to the first blessing, which starts with Baruch Ata Hashem, and Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu. And that Elokei Avraham, the God of Avram, is the equivalent of saying that God is the King of the world. Because what we mean to indicate by that is, He's the King of Avram, who made Him known to the world, so to speak, made Him king over the world. So, good point, Shvah Hari, so, Hatzmucha, that is adjacent to Chavelta, to its friend, to another blessing. So, first thing we have is that the basic formula for a blessing is Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Now, the blessings initially did not have a set fashion. People would bless Hashem the way they saw fit. After the destruction of the first temple, the Jews were exiled, and they lost their mastery of the Hebrew language. People started speaking in Hebrew mixed with Babylonian, with Aramaic, and Persian. They didn't know how to speak Hebrew well. So our sages instituted Shmona Esrei, at the beginning of the second temple, the Anshei Knesset Gadol, the men of the great assembly, Ezra and his high court, they instituted the Shmona Esrei, and they also instituted set blessings. How do you bless Hashem? They instituted the way we should bless. And the halacha says, Kol Amshane, anyone that changes mimatbea shetavu chachamim, from, so to speak, the coin that our sages sealed, they gave the shape to the coin, eino ela toeh. Anyone who changes from that is none other than mistaken. There's no room to change. The way our sages instituted blessings is the way we have to make blessings. Now, we have blessings called Birkot HaNehanim, blessings that surround our Hana'ah, HaNehanim, our pleasure. That's like food before you eat. You make a blessing. You're about to enjoy the food. You make a blessing about the food. Before you smell something, you make a Borei Mineh B'Samim or a Borei Atzeh B'Samim. Make a blessing on that pleasure. Birkot HaNehanim, blessings of that surround benefit, pleasure. Hana'a is pleasure. And then we also have Birkot HaMitzvot, blessings that are on mitzvot. Before we perform a mitzvah, we make a blessing. And we also have Birkot HaSheva, blessings of praise. You see an earthquake, you see a tornado, you see God's might, you make a blessing about God's might. You see lightning, you see thunder, you hear thunder, you make a blessing about God's might. That's a blessing of Sheva, blessing of praise. So,
like Shehachianu or something like that?
What?
Like Shehachianu fall into that? Or?
Shehachianu, it's a good question. Is that Birkata Sheva? Is that Birkata Da'a, blessing of things? What kind of blessing exactly is that? That's a discussion. That's a good question. No, we'll leave it as a question for now. We haven't yet discussed halachic differences, and for now, we're not going to discuss that many halachic differences. Birkot HaMitzvot, the blessing on a mitzvah, begins with Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, same formula, but we add Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, that made us holy with His mitzvot. V'tzivanu, and commanded us the following mitzvah, depending on which mitzvah it is. Now we make this blessing on rabbinic mitzvot as well, even though we're saying, God, you commanded us. So when we make it on rabbinic mitzvot, like lighting Hanukkah candles, which is a rabbinic institution, what we mean to say is, you commanded us to listen to our sages who instituted this mitzvah. When we say, God, you commanded us, we mean you commanded us to listen to the sages who commanded us this mitzvah.
Why is this possible?
What do you mean?
Why is it beneficial? When we see that direct.
God did not command us to make a blessing on to light Shabbos candles, for example. It's not written in the Torah.
Okay, they were his messengers, right? There are
I wouldn't say they were his messengers. They instituted this, they had the power to institute this. He gave them that power. You want to say something? That's a blessing on mitzvah. When we are going to make a blessing, we have to know that we're going to say God's name. And the Torah prohibits us from saying God's name in vain. So we have to take blessings seriously. Usually when we say blessings, we throw it out of our mouth. Like, we just spit it out. Right? Did we even mean what we said? We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Blessed you Hashem. Lokeinu Melech Olam, our God, King of the World, Hashem Kiddushanu, that made us holy, mitzvos of it is mitzvos, v'tzivanu, and commanded us, and here we have to add in the thought, to listen to our sages who instituted, Anitlat Yadayim. To wash our hands in the morning, or wash our hands before we eat bread. So the first thing we have to know is that we're going to say God's name. So we have to be careful not to say it in vain. And that's why, if let's say a person made a blessing, he took a cup of water, and he doesn't remember, did he make a shahakal? He's drinking, and he asks himself, did I make a blessing? So what does he have? He has a safek v'chot. Can you leave it open? People walk by, they see this, they might come in. Thank you. You're in the middle of sipping a cup of coffee, and you ask yourself, when I started this cup 15 minutes ago, did I remember to make a blessing? So we say, what you have now is a safek. You have a doubt. Safek brachot, a doubt and blessing. So what are you going to do? Say the blessing again? Maybe you don't have to. Maybe you already made the blessing. So our rule is that because saying the blessing again would involve saying God's name, and you're not sure if you should say God's name or not, and saying God's name in vain is a biblical prohibition, and is biblically forbidden. You're not allowed to say God's name in vain. So we say, if you're in doubt whether you should make a blessing or not, the general rule is, don't make it. You could continue drinking that cup of coffee without making a blessing, because you don't know if you need to make a blessing or not. So don't make the blessing. You're drinking a cup of coffee, you made a shako, and you didn't show up to this class. So in this class we will discuss, we'll mention it now, that if you made a shako on a cup of coffee, if you want to eat a piece of chocolate, which is a shako, you don't have to make another blessing. If you want to eat a candy, which is a shakal, you don't have to make another blessing. But you don't know that. You don't remember what we said in this class. So you're sitting there and ask yourself, I want that piece of chocolate. Do I need to make another blessing or not? The answer is, if you don't know, safek brachot, the doubt and brachot lakel, you always should be more lenient. Don't make the blessing. You could eat it without making the blessing. Yeah?
Doesn't the prohibition of saying God's name in vain involve only oaths and stuff?
You just said not.
No. Because that. I'm just thinking hypothetically, like, if you say...
Let's see, we got 10 minutes.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah?
I thought if you didn't have in mind to eat candy anywhere...
Let's leave that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second question is, I think that's the way you get out of it, is that you make a bracha on something else that is shahako, and that way you can...
Okay, so we just said that?
Isn't there some, like,
Fine. We haven't yet covered how, when you make a shahakal, you cover everything. I just mentioned that in passing. Hopefully we'll have a separate class where we'll cover what does each bracha encompass. For right now, we're just getting a general picture.
Now
there's a general introduction.
In front of you now. I mean, if you get something else...
Again, let's wait on that. We'll get to that. No. We'll get to that when we expand on laws of blessings. Right now, we're beginning to get a general picture. So the general picture is when you have a doubt about a blessing, so almost every blessing is a rabbinic institution. So therefore we say, safek pachot, a doubt in blessings. Lakel, you should be lenient, don't make the blessing. What is going to be the exception to that? The one blessing which is biblical, which blessing is that? The katamazon. You finished eating, you're full. You have to have eaten enough that you're full. And now the Torah says, v'achalta v'savata, you eat, you're satiated, u'b'chachta, you should bless Hashem. So there, if you finished eating, and then you walk out and you're playing ball, and suddenly you ask yourself, hey, did I make the bracha for night? Did I make an after blessing after eating that meal? And you're not sure. So there, when you're in doubt, you have to make the blessing. There are opinions about one or two other blessings that they might be biblical. We're not addressing that now. Yeah? Okay, fine. And nonetheless, we said what we said. Yeah?
It's a positive mention, but the other one's a negative. Shouldn't the negative overrule the positive?
No. Usually positive overrules the negative. It's a good question, but again, let's continue. Take it for that. That's what says in halacha.
What about this 72? What is you not shot at 72 minutes in halacha?
Again, if you're in doubt, so you make the blessing. That's the one exception. The blessing after food. Yeah?
Why? Right?
Yeah?
More stringent than you say the bracha.
Because we say that to be lenient is always not to do something, to sit back and not do something.
You're saying that
saying God's name. To say the blessing, right. That's what I say. It's more lenient not to say the blessing. Okay. So, when we're going to make a blessing, we should know that the blessing has to be adjacent either to the eating of the food or the performance of the mitzvah. You're going to make a blessing on lulav and esrog. You hold the lulav and esrog in your hand, make the blessing, and then you turn over the esrog and start shaking. You're going to make a blessing on lighting Shabbos candles, so make the blessing and then light the candles, especially on Yom Tov. You make a blessing on food, the food should be held in the hand. If you're a righty, then the right hand. If you're a lefty, then that depends if you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi. The Mkubalim, and some Sephardi go with the Kabbalists, they say you still should hold it in your right hand. And the general opinion is if you're a lefty, hold it in your left hand, hold the food, make the blessing, eat it. Once you made the blessing, you have to eat or drink. There can't be a pause that is greater than the following sentence. Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Umori. Those four words, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Umori, constitute a pause in halacha. If you have pause greater than that between the blessing and the eating of the food or the drinking of the drink, unless you have a good reason, for example, in general, we consider that a pause. The exceptions we will deal with in a different class. In general, what? You wash your hands. Okay, hamotzi is a good example. Why in hamotzi? We make hamotzi and it takes time to cut the bread. Shalom Alecha, Rabbi Umori. Hello to you, my Rebbe, my Master. So, when we make a blessing, there should be no pause. We're not allowed to talk between the blessing and the eating or the drinking or the performance of the mitzvah. Okay. Intent. When we make a blessing, I put it on the board so it's easy for the guys taking notes. We have to have intent, we have to know what we're about to say. And therefore, we should say our blessing slowly. We're saying something, we're talking to the Creator, we're blessing Him. So, we should know what we're about to say before we say it. Sometimes we say, especially in the morning, you have those 15 blessings, one after the other, so people shoot them off, they know them by heart, and then they don't even know what they're about to say. Ideally, before we make a blessing, we should know what we're about to say. And we should say the blessing slowly, loudly. The person should hear what he's saying. If you hear what you're saying, there's more chance you'll have intent. If one makes a blessing in his mind and does not mouth the words, that's not a blessing. You have to at least mouth it. And ideally, you should say it loud enough that you hear it. If you whisper it and you don't hear it, so long as you mouthed it, you're yotze. But I saw people eating carrot. I asked the guy, shouldn't you have made a blessing? The guy says, I thought the blessing. Halakhically, that doesn't work. Halakhically, you have to mouth it at least. The minimum is your lips have to move. Yeah.
I think also I read that like if you're in doubt, say the bracha and you don't say the bracha, but you can at least mentally say it. Or okay. You can verbally say it, but mentally think his name instead of saying it.
Okay. There is such an opinion? No, there is. Mishnah Berurah brings such an opinion. And you have to know what you're saying. So, if you're going to make shahakol, before you make shahakol, you have to know you're going to make shahakol. You start saying you have a cup of water, you want to make a drink, start saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Blessed are you Hashem, Nukreinu Melech HaOlam, God King of the World, Borei Pri Hagafen, who created the fruits of the grapes. Oh, no, I mean Shakol Nei Bezvar. So if you correct yourself before the span of Shom Alecha Rebbe Umori, before that pause, so fine, you corrected yourself, that's enough. But ideally, when you say God's name already, you should know which blessing you are going to say. There are opinions that say that when you say God's name, if you didn't have in mind the right blessing, you're in trouble. So we don't go that way. But we still say that ideally when you say God's name, you should know what you're supposed to have in mind. What? Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, we'll get to that now. Fine. Let's say you're holding a cup of water and you start saying Baruch Atah and you say Hashem's name. Then you think, wait a second, man. I made a blessing on this cup. What do I do now? I just said God's name. So there's a verse in Tehillim that says Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha. Baruch Atah Adonai Lamdeni Chukecha is the pasuk in Tehillim. So sometimes like I have a relative like to play games with me. When I tell him, could you make a blessing for me? Sometimes in the middle of the meal they bring mazonos. But some opinions say you make a mazonos in the middle of the meal if you want to eat a piece of cake. At the end of the meal they bring you cake for dessert. Some opinions say you make a mazonos on it. Some opinions say you don't have to make a blessing, it's part of the meal. So I have a relative, I always tell him, could you make the blessing for me? You're going to make the blessing anyways, have me in mind for the cake. So he takes the cake in his hand and he tells me, Baruch Atah Adonai Lamdeni Chukecha. I'm sitting there waiting, okay. So he tricked me, he said a pasuk, right? So this pasuk, Baruch Atah Adonai Lamdeni Chukecha, that's a pasuk in Tehillim. And if a person says the words, Baruch Atah, and he said Hashem's name, so if he remembers that he doesn't have to make a blessing, he should end, Lamdeni Chukecha. So instead of saying the blessing, he ended with a verse, and this way he did not say God's name in vain. We have to make sure not to say a blessing that is unnecessary, because then we're saying God's name in vain. And this includes not only after I made a blessing, I shouldn't make it again, but this also includes, let's say, I'm about to make hamotzi. And we know that during the meal, after I make hamotzi, once I start eating bread, I don't have to make any blessing on the meat that's going to be brought to the meal, or the salads that are going to be at the meal. That's all part of the meal, right? So ordinarily, if I eat a vegetable salad, I have to make a blessing, I have to make a blessing on the fruits of the earth. Ordinarily, if I'm going to eat meat, I have to make a shach on the abidvaro, on the meat. So let's say I'm standing there for the meal, and I see the roast, and it looks delicious, and I want to nibble a piece. So the halacha says, you know in a second you're going to make hamotzi, right? In a second you're going to make hamotzi, you won't need to make a shahako. So if you're going to make a shahako now and take a piece of meat, and then you're going to make the hamotzi, that's a blessing that's really unnecessary. In 1 second, you don't need that blessing. You're going to make a blessing that encompasses that. That's called a bracha sheinat tzricha. A blessing that is unnecessary. And halachically, we say a person should not make a bracha sheinat tzricha. Don't make a blessing that's unnecessary. If you're going to make a hamotzi, so wait a second, make the hamotzi, eat a piece of bread, and then eat the meat as part of the meal, and you won't need to make another blessing. Yeah?
But what if, like, you know that you're going to be eating something else soon, but it's not within the moment? Oh, that's a
good question. Depends on how much time is going for
that. Like, I want a cup of tea now, I know that in 15 minutes I'll have
bread. That's okay. In 15 minutes you're going to have the meal, so then you could eat something else now. Yeah?
For example, when you eat here in the Chedalokal, there's always normal meat, meal and bread. So, but for example, I don't want to eat bread, or I don't have to.
We said if you're going to eat bread, then you shouldn't make the blessing on the salad and on the meat and everything else, and then make the blessing on the bread. But if you don't want to eat bread, you don't have to eat bread. You can make the blessing.
Yeah. If they don't have the problem, and then you start the bracha, and you realize that it's the wrong bracha, that you've already said bracha for this thing.
Oh.
So you're allowed to stop. Usually it goes Baruch Atah Hashem, and then you realize.
Fine. Right. So if you said Baruch Atah Hashem, so you should end Lamdeni Chukecha. If you said Biyame, said Baruch Atah Hashem, Ugeinu Melech HaOlam, I don't have to make a blessing. So then we say, let's say you finish the blessing. So then we say you should say Baruch Shem Kod Machto L'Olam Ma'ed. Blessed, just like you say in Shema, Baruch Shem Kod Machto L'Olam Ma'ed. That's like a way of fixing the bracha.
If
you finish the blessing, correct. There are other details which I don't want to get into right now. I've said enough details for now. So that's what if we did. We made a blessing by mistake, and you realize it, so you should say right afterwards, Baruch Shem Kod Machto L'Olam Ma'ed. There's an institution that a person make 100 blessings every day, And on Shabbos, that's a little difficult. And on an average weekday, you have 18 few times a day, that's 54 blessings. The blessings on the meals, blessings on Torah. You end up with most of the blessings. You go to the bathroom once or twice, you eat something during the day, you're basically covered on an average day. If you made all of the prayer and that the regular blessings. On Yom Kippur, it's problematic, so we say have in mind the blessings when the person gets an aliyah in the Torah, that should be for you. And on Shabbos, Sa'id. Take a little bit of kugel, take a little bit of cholin, eat here and there after the meal. No, you should know. On Shabbos, you have to fill in like 25 blessings, aside from the blessings on the meal. So on Shabbos, that's why those of you who come to my house, you know I have a little bit of the tree of the Adas tree that I make a blessing Boreatib Samim, so I get in 3-4 blessings during the day. I make on that plan, and you go to the bathroom a few times, and I make sure to take a drink, not during the meal, to make a shahako, and a mizonos, and a bornefashos, and now mikya. So you have to figure out how to get 100 blessings a day. That's too complicated to cover. It's a good question, but it'll take us 5 minutes to cover all the aspects of that, so I'd rather remind me. We'll get back to that. Yeah?
I mean, is that something, how required you to do that? I don't know if I want to keep, keeping, a ledger of, how many brothers. Should have only said 97 today, about to go to bed, quickly. Is it you have to do that?
Every person should try to keep, get 100 brothers in. If you want, there are calendars that tell you how many you're missing every day. And so the average day isn't problematic. The problematic days are Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, the holidays, and Shabbat. So if you're aware of that, so you make sure you eat a fruit not during the meal, you make a blessing and an after blessing, eat some mizonos. You figure you have to get in about 20 blessings on an average Shabbos or Yom Kippur.
What if you're having a meal?
Which isn't so simple. How many times do you go to the bathroom? 3 times you get an asher yotzeh during the day? 4 times? Let's say even 5 times. You're still down to 15 blessings aside from the meal. Not so easy.
What if you're having a meal without bread, and then you decide, I'm actually hungry, I'm going to ask for bread?
Okay, so when you started the meal, you didn't think you were going to eat bread, so you did what you thought best.
Yeah.
Question's going to be, what about the after blessings? That we will leave for now. Any other questions about what we did today? Okay, so we're going to end with two things. When we hear a person making a blessing, so if it's just someone making a blessing and he's not making it for us, so then when he says God's name, we say Baruch Hu Shemo. When he ends the blessing, we say Amen. Amen means I agree. It's an affirmation. And it's a, so to speak, a prayer. So it should be. So if it's just a blessing, I agree. God should be blessed. Sometimes it could be more than that. And then the intent is it should be so, not just I agree. Let's say the person is making the blessing for me. For example, he's making the blessing on the blowing of shofar, so that I need to hear the blowing of shofar as well. So then we say, don't interrupt the blessing with saying Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo when he says God's name. That's an interruption. You have to listen quietly to the blessing. You answer the blessing, say Amen. Let's say you didn't get to say Amen, but you had in mind that the blessing is for you as well. Person's making Kiddush Shabbos morning. You have in mind the blessing is for you. Just as he finishes the blessing, you sneeze. So you can't say Amen after the period of Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori. After that, that span of a second and a half, you can no longer say Amen. So, let's say you're in the middle of yawning just when you finished the blessing, but you had in mind all along that the blessing should be for you. That's good enough. The Amen, even if you didn't say Amen, if he made the blessing for you, he had in mind it's for you. You had in mind it's for you, that's enough. You can still drink from the wine. But ideally, you should try to get the Amen in right afterwards. And more laws about Amen, we will do God willing next week. Any questions? Yeah?
Wait, you were saying that if Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo, it's supposed to say it's that.
Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo should say on any blessing that is not being made for you. But a blessing like Kiddush, which is being made also for you, when I make Kiddush near my house, you also have to make Kiddush. I'm making it for everyone. So then you don't say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo. You don't interrupt the blessing. That's considered an interruption. When I'm not making the blessing for you, so I just mentioned God's name as part of my blessing. So you say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo, you heard God's name, so you say blessed be He, blessed be His name. But if that blessing is for you, so don't interrupt the blessing with saying that. Yeah?
So for Kodesh Shachar, I hear that one of the things you should say all the brachas, then you should be saying Amen afterward, or you should read along.
Right.
But if you don't,
yeah. The
Shalat Sikur is saying bracha for you. Should you be saying Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo after
you? He's not saying it for you.
Huh?
He's not saying it for you.
He's not saying it for me?
No.
So who's saying it for
him? He's saying it out loud. Why not? It goes back to a time when there were people who didn't know how to say it, and then he said it for that. And nowadays, almost everyone knows how to say the blessing.
Blessing.
He's saying the Birkot HaShachar for himself, and the custom is to say it out loud. Yeah.
What about blessings with the Torah? Say a pasuk of the morning blessing of the Torah. I mean,
you don't have to. The custom is to do. Because we say that blessing is instituted on all your learning throughout the day. When you make the blessing on the Torah, if you have time, the custom is to say a verse or some form of learning afterwards. If you want to do it, then it's better to do it right directly following the blessing, to say a verse or something.
Mm.
But you don't have to say it after the blessing on the Torah. It's true that what I'm saying is one opinion, but it seems to be the opinion that we go with halachically. There is an opinion that says what you're saying, but halachically we don't go that way.
I think Rabbi Artscroll disagrees.
Okay.
That's one of the opinions. Maybe that's more just like a joke that it's a rabbi.
Fine. Anything else?
Not you.
Okay.